Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, June the 15th, Mexico fears it could soon be overwhelmed by U.S. asylum seekers and migrants due to its recent trade tariff agreement with Washington. Britain praises a decision by former colony Hong Kong's government to suspend a proposed law that would allow people to be extradited to mainland China for trial. And Pope Francis expresses his belief that all young people should be helped in finding their path to self-realization. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Mexico's government says it could be swamped with 50,000 U.S. asylum seekers and migrants soon due to the agreement via which trade tariffs from Washington have been narrowly avoided. James Blears has the details.
Alejandro Encinas, who's the director of the Mexican government's Human Rights Department, warns there are already 40,000 asylum seekers in Mexico, but thousands more will swell their numbers to double that or more by year end. So he and Secretary of the Interior Olga Sanchez are working on a national human rights program, trying to stem, cope and help alleviate this crisis. Sanchez says the current situation has been inherited from previous administrations, but also explaining that however harsh the truth is, it must now be recognized and dealt with. The director of Mexico's Migration Institute, Tonatiuh Guillen, has just resigned. Mexico, which is sending thousands of National Guard down south to try and secure its southern border, has little more than a month to prove to Washington and President Donald Trump that it has drastically reduced the flow of migrants from Central America entering and traversing its territory. If it can't, then U.S. trade sanctions will be wielded and bite deeply into the fragile, thin-layered Mexican economy. The United States could also demand that Mexico thereafter be used as a holding area for all migrants globally who want to cross over onto U.S. territory. For Vatican News, James Blair reporting.
Meanwhile, thousands of Venezuelans have rushed to cross into Peru in a bid to beat the introduction of tougher migration laws. Under new laws introduced today, Venezuelans need to have a passport and visa to enter Peru. Authorities say about 6,000 Venezuelans crossed from neighboring Ecuador alone on Thursday, three times the daily average. Some 4 million people have fled Venezuela since 2015. The country's imploding economy has resulted in high unemployment and shortages of food and medicines, and hundreds of thousands of people are said to be in need of humanitarian aid. Britain's foreign minister has welcomed a decision by the Hong Kong government to suspend a proposed law that would allow people to be extradited to mainland China for trial. Britain returned Hong Kong to Chinese rule in 1997 under a one-country, two-systems principle, with the guarantee of a high degree of autonomy and freedoms not enjoyed elsewhere in China. China, meanwhile, has expressed support for Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam after she shelved the unpopular bill backed by Beijing. A foreign ministry spokesman said today that the Chinese government expresses support, respect and understanding for Lam's decision. Lam suspended the legislation indefinitely after massive protests. Activists, however, have demanded she withdraw it entirely, apologise and step down. They plan another big protest on Sunday. The way we produce food today is damaging ecosystems around the world, fueling climate change and threatening biodiversity. In fact, about 35% of all the damaging greenhouse gases driving climate change are reportedly due to modern food production, while low food prices are pushing some farmers into bankruptcy and even suicide. Professor of Global Health and top UN official Dr. David Nabarro this week attended the Future of Food International Symposium in Rome, organized by the Food and Agriculture Organization. He told United Nations News that it is fundamental to talk about food production.
Food systems that we have in the world today are delivering food for people in a quantity and quality that's actually not been available ever before. There is a remarkable efficiency of production. There's certainly enough food being produced in the world today to feed all the current population and more. One could say that it's never been so good. However, there are some shortcomings. The first is that despite this plenty, there are still more than 700 million people in our world who are undernourished. In addition, the way we produce food at the moment is contributing to quite a lot of damage to what we call the ecosystems. These are the environmental systems on which humanity depends. Fresh water is in short supply in many areas because of agriculture demands. And there are also challenges with destruction of biodiversity, that is species loss, as a result of agricultural practices, specifically the use of chemical treatments to try to reduce pests. There is also an issue that in many areas, people who are producing food are unfortunately not doing too well in terms of their financial security. One of the reasons for this is that the climate is changing, and when climate changes, that affects productivity. Another reason is that the prices they can get for the food they produce are generally not enough to cover the costs of producing the food, and that has led to some very serious situations, including bankruptcy and even farmers taking their own lives in some regions. And then lastly, perhaps the most frightening thing is that the way we produce our food contributes to somewhere in the region of 35% of all the greenhouse gas emissions that are going up into our atmosphere. So it's contributing to one third of the driver of climate change.
And that was Dr. David Nabarro, Professor of Global Health and top UN official. In Slovakia, 45-year-old anti-corruption campaigner Zuzana Kaputova was sworn in today as her nation's first woman president. In her inauguration speech, she vowed to fight impunity and champion justice in a country shaken by a journalist's murder last year. The killing of Jan Kuciak, who investigated high-level corruption cases, and of his fiancée at their home in February, sparked mass street protests and hit the approval ratings of the governing party. Kaputova won the March presidential vote, boosted by the opposition Liberal Alliance, which backed her and aims to unseat the ruling party in a 2020 general election. The pro-European coalition already won the EU Parliament election last month. Italian film director Franco Zeffirelli has died, aged 96. Zeffirelli directed Hollywood stars in box office hits and opera productions in some of the world's most prestigious opera houses. He worked with the likes of Elizabeth Taylor and Dame Judi Dench. Italian media said Zeffirelli died after a long illness, which had grown worse in recent months. The two-time Oscar nominee also served in the Italian Senate for two terms as a member of Silvio Berlusconi's party. And here in the Vatican, the funeral mass for the former papal nuncio in Argentina, Archbishop Leon Calenga, was celebrated by Pope Francis this morning. He reflected during his homily on the theme of leave-taking. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
Archbishop Leon Calenga Badikabele was born in what was then the Belgian Congo in 1956. He entered the diplomatic service of the Holy See in 1990. His last post was that of apostolic nuncio in Argentina. He died this month in Rome after a long illness, and his funeral was held in St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday morning. Pope Francis, in his homily, began by reflecting on the meaning of the word valedictio, the farewell that concludes every funeral mass.
Una preghiera della valedictio, cioè dell'addio.
It's like saying, "We let you go to God," said the Pope, "into God's hands, which are the most beautiful hands, hands wounded with love." Even more so, continued the Pope, it's the farewell of the shepherd. The shepherd says goodbye to his people, to his flock.
Pastore, si conceda del suo popolo, del suo gregge.
Using the example of St. Paul leaving the faithful in Miletus, the Pope said, the shepherd says goodbye with his own testimony. He takes his leave, showing that his life is one of obedience to God. The pastor also takes his leave with a witness of detachment, said Pope Francis. He's accustomed to being unattached to the goods of this world.
Anche con una testimonianza di distacco.
Again referencing the example of St. Paul, as recounted in Acts chapter 20, the Pope said, the pastor detaches himself from the faithful, saying, now you are adults, watch over yourselves and over the whole flock, and be careful, because after my departure, rapacious wolves will come among you. But detachment is temporary, clarified the Pope. In his farewell, Jesus gives us hope when he tells us, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Vado a prepararvi un posto.
Pope Francis concluded his homily by recalling the spirituality he was taught in the novitiate, that all life is a way of learning to die. Life teaches us to leave, to say goodbye, he said. May the Lord give us all this grace, to learn to leave. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And the Pope this morning received in audience the members of the Order of the Holy Trinity and slaves who are in Rome for their general chapter. He discussed the importance of accompanying young people with patience, comparing their journey to the seeds sown that eventually grow and bear fruits. Francesca Merlo has more.
Pope Francis stressed the importance of giving young people space, of making them protagonists, and of motivating them during an audience with the members of the Order of the Holy Trinity and slaves who are in Rome for their general chapter. This year, their general chapter revolved around youth and vocational ministry, a topic which the Pope described as being vital for the Church.
Tema vitale per la Chiesa.
You yourselves have recognised in the Instrumentum Laboris of the chapter that you find some difficulties in the use of language and in finding a method for communicating with the youth, said Pope Francis. The Pope went on to say that there are still young people today who are searching for the meaning of life.
Ci sono giovani che forse non parlano di significato e di senso della vita.
The Pope explained that even though they do not all discuss this search for the meaning of life, we must think about what it means when they are anxiously seeking happiness, love, success and personal accomplishment.
Cercano con l'ansia la felicità, l'amore, il successo.
This search, said Pope Francis, is all part of the world of aspirations. These aspirations need to be ordered and organized, just as the Creator did in the beginning of time, when he moved from chaos to cosmos.
Passando dal caos all'ordine del cosmo.
This, continued the Pope, is where you could and should come in, to help young people find harmony in these aspirations. Pope Francis then goes on to talk about the importance of being close to young people. Youth ministry entails accompaniment. And this entails closeness and being present in the lives of young people, just as Jesus was to his disciples in Emmaus. Closeness also means going towards the young people who are far. It means not limiting yourself to welcoming those that come to you, but also reaching out to those who have distanced themselves, accepting and welcoming them as they
are. Che si sentano amati per quello che sono. E come sono?
The Pope concluded his discourse by reminding the participants that they must be patient and that they must persevere, motivated always by the desire to bring the youth to God. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can follow us on our website, on our Facebook page and on Twitter. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.